As world leaders meet in Japan, it is a collision of differing perspectives on how to fix world trade. From Marketplace in Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio. World leaders meeting at the G20 summit in Japan currently do not like the state of world trade at the moment. It's right about there where agreement ends, however. Unfair rules, tariffs, the lists of complaints are long, but don't expect a list of remedies for the World Trade Organization when the G20 releases its final statement tomorrow. Let's go to the site of the summit in Osaka, Japan, where we find the BBC's Asia business correspondent Karishma Vasavani. Swanee, hi there.
Hi.
If you were looking for agreement from these world leaders on some kind of prescription for fixing the World Trade Organization, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely. The G20 members are not able to come together with any sort of firm commitment or firm plan even as to how to go about reforming the WTO. What we do know, however, is that Japan, as the host of the summit, is trying to do its best to get other countries to come together on this issue.
Is there at least some agreement on what the problems with the WTO are that might need to be reformed? I know I've heard sometimes people regard the WTO as too powerful, and the U.S. has accused it of judicial overreach. Others think it's not powerful enough.
The U.S. Has accused China of finding loopholes in the WTO that benefit it. And so it goes to the very heart of the globalization, or the problems, rather, with globalization that President Trump has consistently pointed out. Multilateral institutions like the WTO, for instance, he says, do not benefit the average American. That's his claim. And, you know, you can see just how divisive a view this is in at a summit like the G20, when so many of these member states are saying, actually, it's the rules-based order, it's multilateral institutions, multilateralism itself, that is something that needs to be preserved and protected, not challenged.
The BBC's Asia business correspondent, Karishma Vasavani. Karishma, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The G20 is exciting stuff, as evidenced by the boisterous other reporter you could hear in the not-so-distant background there. Now, new data about a big financial decision we have to make that we often get wrong. It's when we start to draw our Social Security earlier or later. There's a new study about this from the wealth management firm called United Income that does have a stake in this, but the study is food for thought. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is on the line from Washington. Nancy, if you would start with how they did this study.
Yeah, they worked with former Social Security officials to simulate the effect of various retirement decisions on about 2,000 households. David, they ran about 500,000 different scenarios for each study participant. From that, they estimate retirees collectively lose more than $100,000 per household because they claim Social Security at the wrong time.
So what's better about waiting? You might get fewer checks that way.
Right, but they'd be bigger checks. For example, a woman who claimed Social Security at age 62 and got $725 a month would get close to double that if she waited until age 70.
So what's it say about why we tend to sign up for Social Security early?
It can be really hard to wait because you might have to draw down your retirement savings. Maybe you weren't able to save much or anything for retirement, so you have no choice. The report says the best time to claim benefits varies, but most of us should wait until at least age 65 if we possibly can.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Let's check the markets. The Dow is up 11 points. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The Nasdaq Composite pretty flat at the moment. The benchmark 10-year interest rate is up near 2.03%. Our top story this morning and those numbers are related. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So all these time zones away is this Group of 20 summit, but they're paying attention on Wall Street?
Oh, yeah. No, it's all anyone is talking about this morning, you know, aside from a brief nod to this morning's inflation numbers. And what we're trying to figure out is what exactly are traders optimistic about?
Yeah. And President Trump and President Xi meet tomorrow and markets are closed. But I mean,
yes.
They're not going to come out with a breakthrough deal. I mean, that's not what people are expecting.
I don't think so. And so I think what markets are optimistic about is the possibility of another truce like we had after their Argentina meeting, where they both agree to delay any additional tariffs. Of course, the U.S. threatening tariffs on $300 billion in additional imports.
Brutha, you mentioned the consumer spending figure. In May, we spent a little more. We didn't spend that much more.
No, actually, kind of disappointing. Particularly the inflation-adjusted number was expected to be up twice as much as it was. Nevertheless, it will be a solid quarter for spending, better than the first quarter anyway.
That's Chris Lowe. He's the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
The Food and Drug Administration has ordered Medtronic to recall some of its MiniMed 508 insulin pumps. The FDA says there's a cybersecurity issue. Now, in plain English, that means regulators are worried these things could be hacked. Medtronic says that hasn't happened yet, but urges people to talk to their doctors and to not leave these things lying around. Part of being a responsible news organization, especially one that covers business and the economy, is fiscal responsibility. Marketplace's budget year ends on June 30th, and we're closing in on our goal of 2,500 donors for this drive. But we still need to hear from you. Become a Marketplace investor for as little as $5 and keep trustworthy, independent news going strong. Contribute today at marketplace.org, and thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Getting your pockets picked has long been one of the less agreeable ways of parting with your money in Paris. Happened to me once in the Paris metro on my honeymoon. Remember it like it was yesterday, which it was not. But this kind of theft has recently gotten worse. Reporter John Lawrenson has been getting wise to some of the tricks on the Paris metro.
At a subway station beneath the Champs-Élysées, I'm on a train when passengers eject three young women they accuse of being pickpockets. And the driver plays a warning message in several languages. Police say pickpocket theft in 2018 was 33% up from the previous year. I met this German family in the subway. The father didn't want to talk.
He was a victim of a pickpocket yesterday.
That was the son. He was okay to say what happened, but didn't want to give their names.
They followed us at the train station, and they followed us.
He mimed someone jostling him from behind and taking a wallet. A bit of a classic when you're getting on a train or a bus. There are also many thefts of phones just as the subway doors close. And this detail that suggests that the pickpocketing problem may be worse than the police numbers show.
Did you go to the police or not?
No, not worth it.
The police say arrests are made in 1 in 5 reported cases, and of those arrested, 90% are foreigners. Police Captain Patrice Riviere says pickpockets are coming to France because so many tourists come here and have some methods you maybe hadn't thought of, like the back-to-back.
You sit down at a restaurant or in a cafe, pickpockets do the same at the table behind you. And while you're talking, they go through your jacket pockets. And there's what we call the hotel rats, who pickpocket people at their hotel bars. People think they're safe, but hotels are public places.
Zippers are good for preventing theft and inside pockets. And don't do as I did at a station cafe last year and put your bag on the ground when you sit down for a beer. In Paris, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
We're also talking to a writer today who's been investigating the dark underbelly of the market for truffles, the fungus, not the chocolate. Some pretty intense stuff. It'll be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air. In Los Angeles today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.